From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. We're listening to the music of Count Basie and his orchestra from 1941. Like the folks who jumped and jived to this music back in the 40s and 50s, the men and women who made the music are, of course, getting older, and that's creating new challenges for the jazz community. Many of the old players don't make much money, they have little or no health insurance, and they often don't get royalty payments for their recordings. Over the next 4 days, we're going to hear about the plight of aging jazz musicians. Here's our first report from NPR's Felix Contreras.
That's Freddie Green, the famous guitarist that worked with the Basie Band all his life, and Mr. Basie himself.
Frank Foster has the history of jazz on his walls.
This is a town hall concert which featured everybody under the sun: Percy Heath, Hank Jones, Will Jackson, Jimmy Heath, Slide Hampton, Kenny Burrell.
In a quiet condo community in southern Virginia, far from the jazz temples of Manhattan, Foster points to his place in that history. The tenor saxophonist played with Count Basie's band in the 1950s and 60s and returned to lead the band 2 years after Basie's death in 1984. During his first stint with Basie, Frank Foster says big bands were places where musicians could find steady pay. Basie's band manager even took deductions for Social Security and a union pension.
When I looked at my pay stub, I saw where funds were coming out of my pay to go into the pension fund and Social Security. And I thought, okay, that's cool. But I didn't think anything about it. I wasn't thinking anything about my future the way I should have been. The way I was living, I thought I'll just have fun while I'm here. Like, I wasn't drinking, but I smoked a lot of pot and staying up late. And I had no idea that I would live beyond 50.
But he did. And 3 years ago, at the age of 73, he suffered a stroke that left him partially paralyzed on his left side. He now has to walk with a cane and can't play his horn.
I knew that I was finished playing for the time being. I didn't know for how long, but it seems like, my playing career is permanently over. My left hand is totally useless.
So he can't earn a living. His monthly Social Security check and musician's union pension don't cover his bills. But most elderly jazz musicians don't even have that. Jazz is an underground economy operating in the open. Pianist Danny Mixon says it has been, and still is, common practice to be paid at the gig in cash with no deductions for Social Security, Medicare, pensions, or unemployment insurance.
That's the musician's life. Cash money, you know. I have had a couple of checks, and they had bouncy-wouncy, too. But the majority of the time, just cash.
Mixon oversees a small network of older players that he's able to get into clubs in Harlem because, he says, the younger players usually don't come uptown. Even the few gigs that are out there only offer on average $50 a night.
If you go in the grocery store with $50, man, you might come out with two bags. For $50, by the time you buy cornflakes and some milk and orange juice and some eggs, and that $50 is gone. And musicians do that job. They got to eat.
Older musicians have no choice but to keep on playing, yet they have to compete with an army of younger musicians eager to get experience. Local gigs are hard, out-of-town gigs are harder. Older musicians can't travel as easily as younger players. They're physically less mobile, they have to keep track of medications, and they're unable to keep up a demanding road schedule. Add to that the fact that the number of jazz clubs is dwindling, says pianist Billy Taylor.
Right now is a terrible time for musicians, because generally speaking, the nightclubs are non-existent in terms of the average guy working. Many guys have found club dates and other things to do on a one-time basis, but it's hard.
But it's always been tough to be a jazz musician in New York. That's a lesson pianist Arturo O'Farrell learned from his father, legendary Afro-Cuban arranger Chico O'Farrell. Still, Arturo says no one is forcing jazz musicians to stay the course.
We live in a free capitalist society. We take this on. This is a mantle we choose. I think it's a noble calling. I think my father was a noble gentleman, and he brought a great deal of love and devotion to his craft. We all do. Here's the thing. We're going to do it whether we get well paid or not.
Dr. Billy Taylor is better off than most because of his 20 years on television and radio as a performer and jazz commentator. He has a pension in health care, but he knows from a lot of his friends that their problems are not just financial.
The mental strain is there. I mean, the mental strain comes from someone who does something extremely well and knows his talent, knows exactly that I'm above the average in terms of where my talents have taken me. And here's a person who can't really get a job that he desperately needs at that particular time. It's embarrassing.
A number of well-known older jazz musicians declined to be interviewed for this story because of their reluctance to talk about their problems.
This picture right here in the vice presidential residence while I was a leader of the Basie Orchestra as then Vice President Gore and his wife Tipper.
Back in Virginia, Frank Foster wistfully reviews his wall of memorabilia and awards. And he says it wasn't jazz that let him down.
I've let myself down. I mean, if my awareness, my economic awareness had been equal to the apparent recognition that's contained on that wall, I wouldn't be worried about it. I might not be being interviewed by you now. I might be sitting in a mansion over on, there's a place about a half mile down the road called Master's Row. That's where I probably would be if I had been economically aware.
There are places elderly jazz musicians can go for help. That story tomorrow. Felix Contreras, NPR News.